darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And good Monday evening to you. No, it's not Abe tonight. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe this evening and glad to do so. Abe taking a little bit of an extended break. And boy, we're just hours away, really, to ending up 2019 and heading into 2020. Just talking to our producer here, Jeff. It's just, it's, you know, those first few weeks of the new year when you're writing checks and you make all those mistakes and keep using the year before. It's just, you know, you have to become very deliberate at that time. But what a year it is expected to be. I'll put it that way. I'm glad it's in God's control and I can rest in that 2020. But when you look at what's happening in our country, certainly politically and spiritually, we know it's going to be another one of those years where our faith will be tested. And certainly the political future of the country once again, because we know the primaries, the caucuses, are about to start in just a few weeks, Iowa being the first in the way of caucuses. And I tell you, we're going to jump into it. It is going to be a busy, busy year. But as I say, as Christians, we can take comfort in the fact that God has this. He's in control. He knows what's going to happen. And it may be a rough year for us as Christians, but we all have to wait and see. But it is, I tell you what, when we look at 2019, looking back at 2019, we saw, I think, in that year, in this year of 2019, we saw, I believe, a clarifying of the spiritual divide in this country as manifested in a whole pile of areas, including politics. And that is going to be a big topic as we head into this new year, this political year, this election year in this country. And yes, we were reminded over recent days of the violence that is occurring, the persecution of Christians around the world, talking about places like Nigeria and others where Christians are being persecuted, China certainly. But also, we're also seeing violence in this country perpetrated against certain religious groups, in particular Christians and Jews. And that's the way we want to start our program today. Certainly, looking at the incident yesterday in White Settlement, Texas, just very near Fort Worth, Texas, where at a church there, West Freeway Church of Christ, they were holding their communion service yesterday morning. Just like a lot of churches, the last Sunday of the year, many churches have communion services. They were holding their communion services, about 240 people in the congregation who were at the church at the time, when gunfire broke out. And we now know the identity of the shooter, Keith Thomas Kanunen, 43 years old. Motivation still under investigation. But one of the key stories coming out of what happened yesterday is that this gunman was stopped within 6 seconds. The incident at that church lasting only about 6 seconds. And the reason being is they had a trained security staff. And the man who took out the gunman, killed the gunman, is a man by the name of Jack Wilson, fired a single shot, quickly ending the attack that did manage to kill two people at this church. And Wilson put on Facebook today these comments. He's saying, "The event put me in a position that I would hope no one would have to be, but evil exists, and I had to take out an active shooter in church. I'm thankful to God that I have been blessed with the ability and desire to serve him in the role of head of security at the church." A couple of things to note from there. Giving praise to God for allowing him to be in that position. He's a firearms instructor, but he's also a former FBI agent. And so he was a person well-versed with how to handle a gun. Did you see the story there? One shot took this shooter down. And unfortunately, the shooter was able to kill two people prior to that. One of them, a deacon, who had just finished serving communion. And he was killed in this incident. Plus one more member of the security team. This guy walks in to the service, sits down in the pew, apparently had a long trench coat on, and he was able to hide his gun, long-barreled gun, under that coat, got up, and basically opened fire. Now, here's what's interesting, and what you're getting today, and we're going to get to the second story, and that's the attacks on Jewish people in the New York area, and the machete attack in particular at the home of a rabbi on Saturday night in New York. You're hearing a lot in both of these stories about mental illness. Now, mental illness is a serious thing. It's a real thing. But it cannot be used as an excuse for a well-thought-out, well-planned pattern of violence. And that's the case that we're learning about this Keith Thomas Kinnunen, 43. He was arrested in 2016. Let's go back actually a few years before that. Arrested in 2009 on charges of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon in Fort Worth, Texas. And then in 2013 for theft, according to Tarrant County court records. He was arrested in 2016 in New Jersey after police found him with a 12-gauge shotgun and rounds wrapped in plastic in the area of an oil refinery. And that according to the Herald News Tribune in East Brunswick. So there you have it. A pattern of violence in this case. So the idea of mental instability, I think it's often thrown around. When you have this kind of pattern of violent behavior, there is definitely something wrong, but something that we're a lot of in our society aren't willing to talk about, and that's evil. Much the same thing what we're learning about the machete attack at the rabbi's home in New York on Saturday night. And in this case, the attacker, Grafton E. Thomas, 37 years old. Now, his family and his lawyers right away are talking about a mental illness. But I'll tell you what, he's well organized. They've already gone into his home in Greenwood Lake, where he has a pattern. He has a page with drawings of a Star of David and a swastika. A phone recovered from his car included repeated internet searches for, quote, why did Hitler hate the Jews, as well as German Jewish temples near me, and prominent companies founded by Jews in America. On the day of the stabbings, the phone's browser was used to access an article titled, New York City Increases Police Presence in Jewish Neighborhoods After Possible Anti-Semitic Attacks. Here's what to know. So as I say, his lawyer, and he's been charged with multiple counts now, including hate crimes, but his lawyers right away is talking about mental illness, the family talking about mental illness, but you see in this a pattern of thought, a pattern of deliberateness to attack Jewish people. And there have been several incidents in New York just in recent days. A woman who was let out of jail for other incidents because of a new policy of basically not holding people on bail. She was let out and she attacks another Jewish person. I think there have been 9 incidents in the last 2 weeks of Jews being attacked in the New York area. Of course, in New Jersey, you had that horrific incident back a couple of weeks ago in Jersey City against a kosher market. Several people killed in that incident. So be careful, folks, when you hear, and you're going to hear this again and again about mental illness. No, there is evil out there. Now, I want to go back to the second part of this story out of Texas. And we're going to be hearing from the Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick on this. And that is the idea, and this is for Christians, for church members and church leadership. Things could have been far worse if there was not a security detail, a trained security detail at that church. Now, we've had many incidents. There was another incident just a few years ago in Texas that multiple people were killed in that incident. But we're starting to see that the idea of a church security team is just not a matter, well, that's nice for that church, but why do we need it here? I'm sure the folks there in White Settlement at West Freeway Church of Christ maybe at one time think they didn't need it. But they did. They did the smart thing. They put a security team together. And this security team, now they were very blessed in the fact that they had Jack Wilson, former FBI agent and a firearms instructor, as head of their team. But you know, here on our campus, here at American Family Association, we have people that are trained to use weapons. We send them out and we train them. We cannot take it for granted. Our security here on this campus has increased remarkably in recent years because of one of the things that precipitated here was what happened at Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. You remember that incident a few years ago where a guy went in with the intention of killing multiple members of staff. And unfortunately, he was stopped by a security guard at the front door. So security is not something that we can take for granted anymore. And churches really need to start thinking about this. And that was certainly addressed by Lieutenant Governor of Texas Dan Patrick in talking about this church shooting yesterday. And he had a press conference at the scene of the Texas shooting, praising the heroes with the guns who took down the shooter. Cut number 5.
This church had its own security team. They were well-trained. The heroism today is unparalleled. This team responded quickly, and within 6 seconds, the shooting was over. Two of the parishioners who were volunteers on the security force drew their weapons and took out the killer immediately, saving untold number of lives. Had the shooter been able to indiscriminately start firing into the parishioners sitting there in front of it, or at the pastor or whoever, we would have had many more lives lost today.
That was Lieutenant Governor of Texas Dan Patrick speaking at a news conference last night at that church in Texas there. You know, when I hear these incidents, I'm in my 60s now, these are things we never had to worry about when I was growing up, this kind of violence occurring in a church. Not to saying there wasn't violence, but violence in churches. We're living in a very different day, folks, when, in particular, Christian churches are attacked. Jewish people are being attacked, not only in New York, but at various places across the country. And what it points to is a spiritual upheaval in our country. It's only not being manifested in these acts of violence, but also politically we are seeing this. And we get a chance tonight, we'll talk a little bit more about this Christianity Today article, where basically advocating the idea of President Trump being thrown out of office, of Christians who supported him being demeaned and called deplorables and things like that. But we're living in a very, very tense time in this country. And I honestly do believe it goes to spiritual warfare. And we have to become very aware of that. And where does this spiritual tension come from? Well, it becomes from the rebellion against God and godly standards, against the authority of God's word. And Christians can even be drawn into this kind of thing. We want to talk about this when we come back. Did an interview earlier today on Today's Issues with a man who has written an article, and I want parents, especially if you have kids that are going off to university, or Christian parents, you got kids going off to university, I want you to hear this very carefully. Because where our kids led astray today, many times it's on university campuses that are teaching rebellion against godly standards. I want you to hear it when we come back here in the Hamilton Corner.
It's a slow fade for Disney. I am Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The mouse ears are at it again. The Star Wars children's animated series now has an openly same-sex couple on screen. The Star Wars Resistance executive producer and director proudly said that alien characters Orca and Flix are a homosexual couple. Of course, we have already seen multiple Disney series feature same-sex characters. It's clear that Disney chooses to be politically correct instead of providing family-friendly entertainment. And here's another example. Disney should stick to entertaining instead of pushing a radical agenda. Please make sure that you know what the children in your life are seeing and hearing, and speak up and urge Disney to avoid pushing topics such as homosexuality on your family. This is only sacrificing our children's innocence. God calls children a blessing and a gift. We must protect them. Stay informed at Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org.
Do you want to live your Christian life at a deeper level, but don't know how? Do you feel that there's something missing in your walk with Christ? If this describes you, then Wesley Biblical Seminary in Ridgeland, Mississippi is the place for you. I'm Dr. John Oswalt, and we at WBS are committed to giving you a first-class biblical and theological education and taking you beyond information to formation. Check us out, wbs.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
Brian Fisher here with the Life and Liberty Minute. In World War II, many people like Corrie ten Boom lied to the Nazis to protect innocent Jews hiding in their homes. Is what they did right or wrong? A story from ancient Israel may help. In the days of Moses, the Hebrew midwives refused to kill newborn male babies when Pharaoh ordered them to because they feared God. They lied to Pharaoh when he asked them about it, saying the Hebrew women were so vigorous the babies were already born by the time they got there. Rather than rebuke these midwives, God honored them, blessing them with families of their own. The lesson: it is not wrong to lie to the evil to protect the innocent. When we lie, we usually are protecting the evil, that's us, from the innocent, the people we are lying to, and that's wrong. But there was everything right about lying to Nazis to protect innocent Jews.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Monday edition of the Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. Talking about the incidents over the weekend, incident at the home of the rabbi in New York City, where a guy wielding a machete walked into this place, targeted it, and did severe injury. Fortunately, no one was killed, but severe injuries to several people in that incident. And as I mentioned, is one of several anti-Semitic incidents that we have seen in New York in recent days. But also, of course, yesterday at this church in Texas, and White Settlement, Texas, the West Freeway Church of Christ, where a gunman walks in, had a heavy long coat on, had a firearm underneath that, opened fire, but fortunately they had a security detail there and they were able to take that shooter out. It all lasted about 6 seconds, but sadly two people died. And what we were talking about a few minutes ago, these tend to be considered by many in the world just to be a couple of incidents of violence. And people say there's always been violence. But we've noticed an increase in this country. We've noticed an increase in adversity, particularly against Christian and biblical principles and biblical ideals. So we know it's all part of spiritual warfare. Now, earlier today, on today's issues, I joined there Ed Vitagliano and Walker Weilman hosting that show today. And we did an interview with Paul Kengor. Now, he is a professor of political science at Grove City College in Pennsylvania. And he's written many really good, strong articles. But this particular article was entitled Mayor Pete's Rainbow Army. Now, he's talking about Pete Buttigieg, who is a mayor and in Indiana and candidate now for president. And by the way, doing extremely well in the polls. You need to be aware of that. He is climbing, and he could well win the Iowa caucus coming up in a few weeks. But the thrust of this article was this. And he started off the article by explaining a situation that he was told about where a young lady who grew up in a Christian, evangelical Christian home, went to an evangelical Christian church. So supposedly well-grounded in the Bible, in Bible teaching from day one, in her home and in her church. And she goes off to an Ivy League college in the Northeast. And she ends up, by the way, working and campaigning for Pete Buttigieg, who also happens to be an open homosexual. What happened? So what you're going to hear first is a question from Ed to Paul Kengore, asking him kind of lay this scenario out of what happened and to give some comments on it. So cut number 11.
People, you start off with a story of a young lady who's a solid evangelical from a Christian family, grew up in church, who was actually going to spend vacation time helping Mayor Pete run for president. How did this happen?
Well, that's right. In fact, my friend Jeff, he's the guilty culprit, unnamed in the article. But he told me, he said, let me tell you about this girl. She was valedictorian of our classical Christian school. It went to our church. And he said, guess what she did for spring break or for break? I guess it would have been fall break. Yeah, fall break. Guess what she did for fall break? And he said she headed to Iowa to volunteer for Mayor Pete's presidential campaign. And I wasn't surprised because I knew where she was. She had gone off to an elite university in the Northeast, Ivy League school. And, you know, I got to tell you guys, and you know this, you guys probably know this very well, but all it takes is two or three semesters at these colleges to, you know, to borrow the language of Barack Obama, to fundamentally transform somebody who you thought was a solid, you know, Bible-believing, evangelical kid into a pro-choice, LGBTQ crusading leftist. And that's exactly what happened to this girl, to the point where she dropped everything during fall break and probably on her parents' dime, hopped a plane and headed off to Iowa and went there and volunteered for Pete Buttigieg's presidential campaign. And why? Well, because he's, you know, quote unquote gay, because he's homosexual, because he's a man married to another man. And that's the primary reason why she and others like her are campaigning for him, because, you know, they want a gay married man to be president of the United States.
Very, very interesting analysis on all of this. And this is so important to bring to your attention if you're a Christian parent right now, because over the next several weeks, you're probably going to be making decisions if you have teenage kids in your home as to where your kids are going to go to university this coming fall. Now, did you hear what he had to say about this young lady? Christian home. Actually did not go to a public school, went to a classical Christian school. Smart young girl. Church background. Goes off. And within three terms, I think he said, three semesters, she ends up going to campaign for Pete Buttigieg, who is an open homosexual, defies any kind of biblical authority in his platform, because all the Democrat candidates have said they all are in favor of abortion, federally funded abortion, among other things. All right? So what the question is, why does this happen? How do you take somebody who has this solid evangelical Christian background, and within three semesters, they're willing to throw all of that out the window and go campaign for somebody who is totally adverse to everything that she has been taught for years at home and in her Christian school and in her church? So I asked Paul Kengor about that. What spiritually is going on here that's causing this to happen? Cut number 12. So how, with a young lady, the example that you've given us, a young lady grown up in an evangelical church, evangelical family, how is it at some point that she has to transition from believing in the Bible being God's word, to no, the Bible is trumped by what my professor is saying? There's the spiritual problem that I'm seeing in this, is that never being grounded in the authority of Scripture and what the Bible is, and the Bible is God's word.
Yeah, I know, Fred. It's quite daunting, and it's really quite insidious too. That the one guy on the Democratic side who's openly talking about faith is talking about it in a way in order to try to make his same-sex marriage attractive, right? And you know, it reminds me of Barack Obama, and Obama was in, I think, United Church of Christ was the Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church. And Obama talked about, oh, well, of course I support same-sex marriage because I believe in the golden rule, right? Mm. And Nancy Pelosi, who's Roman Catholic, right, saying, well, of course I believe in same-sex marriage because my faith teaches love. My faith teaches tolerance. Jimmy Carter. Right? Jimmy Carter, who was, Southern Baptist? So I'm picking people from all over the map here, faith-wise. Likewise, saying that he sees no prohibition in Scripture that directly says that a man can't marry another man, which would be something like saying, well, there's nothing in Scripture that says you can't smoke marijuana, right? Or that you can't use drugs just because it's not stated there explicitly, then therefore it's okay. But it shows what a lot of kind of modern-day leftist Christians like Pete Buttigieg are doing, which is they're using the tolerance, love aspect of the gospel, right, to try to trump everything else that's said anywhere in the New Testament or Old Testament, right? Yeah. The Christian faith teaches love. Well, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would love, right? He would embrace his neighbor. Say, "Yeah, but you got to read the whole thing, right? It also says not to do this and not to do that." No. To me, it's just about love. It's just about love. So you combine that, which is happening among some social justice, religious left Christians, and then what the young lady is hearing from her secular left agnostic professors, who are pushing this race, gender, sexual orientation stuff, and altogether it combines here for, I think, this pretty toxic confluence that is producing a generation of young people who, citing their Christian faith, are willing to go out and campaign for people like Pete Buttigieg.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. That interview just kind of blew me away. In the aspect of, in this case, you had the example of this young girl and this very strong Christian evangelical background. And what has happened? Now, Paul Kengor said several interesting things there, in that he says Pete Buttigieg is spinning Christianity to support his political views without the backing of God's word. For instance, and you may have read some of this about Buttigieg and in some other areas, he referred to Jesus as a refugee. All right? Now, what is a refugee? A refugee is somebody who is fleeing oppression for a better place to live. Got news for you. Jesus wasn't fleeing heaven for a better place to live here on earth. That's not why he came to earth. He was not a refugee. But sadly, even Christians are buying into this idea. You've probably heard social justice evangelical Christians, even these days, saying that Trump is anti-immigrant, anti-refugee. You probably have heard that. Well, that's not true. What he is against is people entering our country illegally through a very porous southern border. That's what he's opposed to. And also, he's not anti-refugee. What he's opposed to is people coming in on the skirts of relatives from terrorist-sponsoring nations. I've got news for you, folks. Thousands of people immigrated to this country legally in the last year. Thousands of refugees still came into this country, but they did it the right way. But you see, that's the way that President Trump is being portrayed. And then to take it a step further, which is what Paul Kengor has done, is that these Christians are going off to university, hearing from professors that talk the same way as Pete Buttigieg does. And it's all about love. How can you not agree with Buttigieg? How can you not agree with his homosexuality? Because it's all about love. The Bible talks a lot about love. God so loved the world. He did. But he had to give his only begotten Son because we're sinners. And we couldn't earn our way to heaven through good works, including love. He had to come and die for our sins. And by the way, you'll remember the words of Jesus when he told his closest band of disciples and followers, "Hey guys, they hated me, and they'll hate you." Jesus didn't follow up on that statement by saying, "You got to do something about that. You got to make the world love you." He didn't say that. I'm not talking about going out there and being antagonistic and ignorant and arrogant. But what we are saying is that the Bible is God's word, and God hasn't changed his mind about what sin is. And homosexuality is a sin. But here's the other aspect of this. Let's be very clear about this. Much of what we are seeing in our education system today, our universities, colleges, and even, sadly, some of our schools, it's not about education anymore, folks. It's about indoctrination. And that's what's happened to this. That's what happened to this young lady. She got to this university, this Ivy League school, and she wanted to be accepted. What the professor said to her sounded good. And apparently she believed it was something that she didn't get in her Christian education at home, and she bought into it. And that was my question to the guest, Paul Kengor. This is about being grounded in Scripture and teaching our kids while we still have them at home. God's Word is God's Word, and He doesn't change. And if the world doesn't like God's Word, we don't abandon God's Word in order to get the culture to like us. That's not going to attract anybody to true Christianity. It's standing on the truth. And that's why Jesus said, "They hated me first, and they'll hate you." Not that our goal is to head out and make sure people hate us, but to stand on truth, salt and light in this dying world. Want to hear from you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. You're investing much in your kids these days. You're going to send them off to school to have their minds changed and indoctrinated. 888-589-8840.
We all have times of discouragement, but there is hope. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Hey, I have good news for you. God is the God of encouragement, and God has a good word from His word to encourage you, to lift you up, and to change your outlook.
Learn the power of simply having a godly outlook. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
Folks, you know, I used to be a football fan. I stopped being a football fan. I could not stand the idea of people denigrating that flag and refusing to stand for it. My attitude about folks like that is, please leave. You ought to be thanking God every day of your life that you were born an American. I know that my country's not perfect, but I still love America.
Tune in to The Awakening, weekdays at noon Central on American Family Radio.
Impeachment. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. We hate to interrupt your Christmas season with discussion of politics, but the President of the United States is about to be impeached for only the third time in our history. It's unlikely the Republican majority Senate will follow the Democrat majority House in impeaching President Trump. So why is the left still trying? Simple. The left's humanistic worldview that favors socialism, abortion, sexual and gender perversion, legalizing drugs, open immigration, and identity politics is being hindered by President Trump. Therefore, false and non-impeachable charges must be made up to diminish him so perhaps he'll lose the next election. Remember to pray for our leaders, that truth and righteousness would prevail. Hear more at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
For me, Truett means opportunities.
Truett means an adventure, a place where I can grow and become more like Jesus.
This is somewhere I belong.
To me, Truett is like a home far away from home.
Everyone is family from all different walks of life and from all over the world.
To me, Truett means a second home.
Truett McConnell University is home for me.
Hi, this is Todd Starnes, and now you know why I love Truett McConnell University.
Tamia Dean was a cheerleader at Kennesaw State University in Georgia. 2 years ago, she made national headlines when she took a knee at a football game during the national anthem. In response, university leaders decided to ban Miss Dean and four other cheerleaders from appearing on the field during the Star Spangled Banner. Miss Dean filed a lawsuit claiming her civil rights had been violated. The university agreed to a settlement to buy peace of mind from future controversy. It turns out the going price for peace of mind in Georgia, nearly $150,000. Miss Dean also sued Cobb County Sheriff Neil Warren and former State Representative Earl Earhart, alleging they had conspired to keep her off the field because of the color of her skin. A federal judge dismissed that part of the lawsuit. So there you have it, folks. A cheerleader disrespects America and gets nearly $150,000 in cash for her troubles. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And indeed, welcome back to the Monday edition of Hamilton Corner. Fred Jackson sitting in for Abe today. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. And we're talking about what is happening with our young people today with regards to growing up in a Christian environment, going off to university, and coming back different people, disowning what they have been taught for years in their homes, their Christian homes, and their churches, many cases in Christian schools that they've gone to. And within the article we were talking about in the last few minutes, within three semesters, they've changed so radically they're willing to go out and campaign for a Democratic Party candidate who basically, in his beliefs, is contrary, totally contrary to Scripture. How is it that this kind of thing happens? And also, one other aspect I wanted to bring into this. Every penny that you have in your wallet, Christian parent, belongs to God. He's going to hold you accountable as to how you spend your money. Are you spending your money wisely to send your kids off to universities that, for the most part, as I said just before the break, are indoctrination centers today, not education centers, that are out to change the mind of your child? Remember, people in high places like Hillary Clinton believe you're deplorable, and others are following suit. The attacks against evangelicals who have voted and supported Trump, you know it's out there, even from some in the evangelical circles. The editor of Christianity Today, after Trump was elected, referred to himself as an elite evangelical, and those who voted for Trump, probably those who don't have a university education. So do you really want to take the money? Is it wise to take the money God has given you, put yourselves in debt, tens of thousands of dollars, only to have your child's, the beliefs that they have been taught, undermined by that university? You know, you don't have to go to university to get an education. There are schools that you can go to. There are some good Christian schools out there, folks, that'll give you a good liberal arts education along with good Bible training. Maybe that's where we ought to be thinking as Christian parents about sending our kids. Now, I understand in order to be a doctor or an engineer or that sort of thing, you have to go to secular university. I'm not naive about that. But you don't have to send your kids to that university you graduated from, folks. Is that what, because your university probably that from which you graduated probably has changed in recent years, and it ain't the same school that you graduated from. So let's hear from you. 888-589-8840. What's going on out there, folks? It's all part of spiritual warfare. Let's go first to Bill in Mississippi. Bill, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Thank you very much. Listen to your commentary today. You mentioned a young lady who went off to an Ivy League school, said that she evidently forgot all about her Christian faith and it changed, and she went to help campaign for Mr. Buttigieg. There is a thought that goes with that. Maybe she wasn't as grounded in the Christian faith as we would like to believe. What would cause that, I don't know. But I do know this. She said also that God's word hadn't changed, and God does not change. And I just want to leave you with three verses of Scripture real quick. And if someone truly believes the Bible, then they're going to believe these words. And I'm on my way home from work, so I don't have my Bible with me. But I do know what it says. And just check me and make sure that I'm in the correct place. But in Isaiah 40, verse 8, I believe it is, God's word says, the grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our, and we need to mention that word, our God, standeth forever. So we see that God's word does not change.
Amen.
The second verse is 1 Thessalonians 2:11. For this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they might be damned who believe not the truth but take pleasure in unrighteousness. So we must see that people who continually, I know we're all sinners, but if people who continually to take pleasure in unrighteous behavior, God will send them a strong delusion. God has sent them that delusion, and unless they repent, that's what they're going to be stuck with for the rest of their lives, for the rest of eternity. And the last verse, sir, is 2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished, chiefly those that walk in the lust of the flesh, and get this, and despise government. These people despise any form of authority. And I just wanted to leave you with those words straight from the King James Version.
Well, Bill, you did extremely well driving home today. And you drove home some good points while you were doing it, sir. And we thank you for your call. Hey, listen. I brought up two girls. They're in their 30s now. I know it's difficult. And as time goes by, the challenges and the temptations I know have grown more explicit and stronger. But God hasn't changed, and He is able. He is still able to work in the hearts of folks despite what's going on out there. So don't be discouraged. We have to rely on the Lord, but also God gives us wisdom on how to handle these growing challenges that are out there. And that's why I say the idea that your child has to go off to these indoctrination centers, you have to weigh increasingly the price of doing that. And that's what this example, that's what the interview was about today with Paul Kengor. By the way, we have posted that article on Abe's Facebook page. Is that correct? Yes. We posted that article. Read it for yourself. It's a fascinating article. And I think it's just the tip of the iceberg of what actually is happening out there. All right, off to Texas now, and Samuel's on the line. Welcome to the program, Samuel. Go ahead.
Hello, Fred. Thank you for this opportunity. I was calling because I was wondering, with so much confusion going on in the world and so many students who from a Christian background going to university, like the young lady now supporting a lot of things like the LGBTQ, and now I guess it's plus type thing, that if that stems from a misunderstanding or misapplication through modern Christendom of what Paul said to the Galatians, or what Paul wrote in the New Testament as regards to the difference, the fact that we're no longer under the Torah or under the law, but under grace. Mm. And when I look at that, I've seen in Acts, their biggest challenge was going against the sect of the Pharisees, who were believers who were trying to teach that a person had to be circumcised in order to be saved. And that also comes from that misunderstanding from a Jewish mindset that keeping the Torah was the means to salvation. Mm. And I use the word Torah because it literally means teachings and instructions, not really law, but teachings and instructions. So if we as a group of believers are not mentioning and not teaching the fact that the Torah itself actually gives guidance on what sin and gives understanding what love is, and saying that it's no longer applicable, or that it's only applicable to the Jews and not to Christians, then maybe that's setting the basis for our children to grow up with this not understanding that when we are saved and when he comes into our lives, that the Spirit is specifically designed to cause us to walk in his ways. And I was just wondering what you thought about that.
Yeah, Samuel, some good points there. Well, it's taught in the New Testament that the law was a school teacher, was set out to show us what God required. And with the Jews, of course, it all goes back to the sacrifices they had to do to pay the price for sin. And we know that Jesus came, God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins. But also remember what Jesus taught. He took it beyond the physical acts of what the Jews had to do, what they were taught in those initial books of Scripture and giving the law. He took it to, remember what he said, for example, if you hate someone, you've already committed murder. If in your mind you are a man and you lust after a woman, you've already committed adultery. So he took it even a step further to make the point that there is nothing that we can do in the way of good works to save ourselves. When we accept Christ as our personal Savior, and Caller, you're exactly right, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in our hearts. And he is the one that gives us the strength to do what is right. We're still going to fail. That's why the Bible teaches to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all righteousness. Now, there is no condemnation because we are wrapped in the righteousness of Christ when we accept him as our personal Savior. But there's still sin in our lives. And we need to be aware of that. But I think what we're talking about tonight, how is it, while we're on this short journey before God takes us home, how is it that we protect ourselves and we protect our kids? God has blessed us with kids. How do we protect them against the growing evil and rebellion against God? That's the question that has to be answered here. How does this apply to me? How is the world changing? It's becoming more evil. Evil is becoming more open and pronounced. That's what we're seeing, folks. We're seeing sin celebrated on our TV screens and our movie screens, and sin celebrated on our university campuses, to take it back to this article. So the question is, in this day and age, how do we handle that? You know, it's not the first time that evil was so pronounced in the world. It's kind of new for some of us who have lived here in North America and grown up here. But down, you study history. True Christianity has always been under some degree of persecution and attack. The Christians in the early church, they were scattered by what was going on in Rome, what was going on in Jerusalem, the early church there. They were scattered about. They faced persecution that we have not faced here yet, although we're starting to see the first of that with the persecution against Christians. And I'm thinking of the Baronel Stutzmans and others who are facing real persecution because of their beliefs. I think what's happening is perhaps within evangelical Christianity, we've had it pretty soft. We kind of had it our way. And we didn't feel threatened. But now, what we believe is being attacked openly. And if you haven't noticed, it's not just being attacked verbally, but they want to punish us for what we believe. These atheist groups that want to remove, you know, the Ten Commandments and take any references to Scripture, the attacks against Christmas because it's a Christian holiday. All of this kind of all fits together, and we're seeing more and more of this kind of thing. Listen, folks, we're going to have to wrap it up for this evening. But this is something that you need to be discussing in your churches around the dinner table at night. Moms and dads, you need to be discussing this with your kids, getting your kids ready for this, reminding them it's Christianity is not a popularity contest, but it's about standing for truth, whatever the cost may be, and just bringing home again and again, we serve a God that hasn't changed. And we don't have to fight this battle alone, that God is there beside us to see us through, regardless of the consequences. And we've got, as we head into 2020, folks, we have to be really mindful of this. And I'm not talking about the political battle that's going to unfold. I'm talking about the spiritual battles that will unfold and I think will become more intense as we go through 2020. How to prepare ourselves for it. I believe with all my heart, God is in control because my Bible says so. And he has proven himself over and over again. But I have to be ready for the battle. And that's what we need to be thinking about as we head into this new year. It's been great to be with you today, folks. Never know where God is going to take the discussion, but I think he's led today, and I hope that you'll be thinking about these things and the challenges that lie ahead, but never forget, God is with us. Been good to be with you. Stay tuned for more great programming here at American Family Radio. Thank you for being a blessing to us, and we hope we're a blessing to you each day. We'll see you again real soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.